you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, July 5th, 2017. As mentioned last week, on today and Friday's edition of Mark and Friends, we're going to be covering some of the book of Exodus, as that's our Friday pattern. And today we're going to do it through a message as preached by Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet, as he'll be talking about Exodus chapter 1, starting at verse 15. But he first opens in prayer. Here's Pastor Jason Schiffo.
Father, we thank you that we can come before you. We can lift up our hearts and our hands. We can lift up our voices. We can lift those things up to you. And Father, for many of us, that is easy. The more difficult thing is for us to lift up our concerns and our suffering, for us to lift up our struggles. Sometimes, Father, the most courageous thing that we can do, the most bold thing we can do, is to admit that we don't have it all worked out and that we desperately need you. Father, so many Sundays we sing that song, Lord, I need you, every hour I need you. And Father, while I love that song, I bemoan the fact that I need you more than every hour. I need you every minute, every moment. I need your strength and your forgiveness, your love and your long-suffering. I need every bit of all that you are in every single minute of the day. Father, I thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul who says, I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. And Father, I admit like the Apostle Paul that in everything I need the strength of Christ. And therefore, Lord, I thank you for the word that we're going to look at this morning that shows us it's not just today that we need you in everything. But thousands upon thousands of years ago, there were a people in Egypt who need you in exactly the same ways we need you today. We need every single bit of you. And so, Lord, I pray that that would be the heart cry of every person here this morning. Lord, I need you. And Lord, we repent of the places where we claim that we don't need you. The places where we think we've got it all covered, and if we were to stand back, those would be the places in our lives where we are running off the rails the most. And so, Lord, I pray that not only would we bend our knees in prayers, but we would also bend our hearts and claim that you are the only Lord, God, King, and Savior, and you would help us to stop being our own unsatisfying and short-sighted saviors. So, Father, we pray as we come to your word that it would change us and mold us and shape us more into the image of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray this morning. And all God's people said, Amen. The book of Exodus, beginning in chapter 15. You know, this week I was thinking about this chapter, and I think I named it in the sermon outline here. I named this sermon called God is Faithful. But as I was looking at the sermon and thinking all week between this one and the Mother's Day sermon, I really wanted to name these sermons Girl Power. Because that's what we, Kevin, it's awkward you raised your hand in solidarity. But we love you, brother. But as I was reading this, I was thinking to myself, that's what this chapter and the next one really say to me is how God uses all things, even the things that we don't expect, to work in our lives. And so sometimes I believe that for me, I don't know about you, but I can only talk about me right now. I think for me, I need to look in the places where I don't think God is working or I don't expect him to work. Because that's exactly the place where he is working. So as I was thinking and mulling in my mind how I could call this sermon Girl Power without all the guys in the room going, you know what, I'm not attending this week. Because I got a bunch of girl power in my life already. I'm married to one and it's difficult. But as I was doing that, I Googled and I came across a list that was called the 100 Most Influential Women Ever. And it was an interesting list that I came about. There was all kinds of women through all different parts of history. I even printed out the list here, but I would bore you if I read it all. But there was women on here like Cleopatra and Hildegard of Bingen and Eleanor of Antioquia and Joan of Arc and Catherine of Medici and Elizabeth I, Catherine the Great, Jane Austen, Harriet Beecher Stowe. I mean, there are women, Queen Victoria, Susan B. Anthony. There are 100 great women in this article that I printed out. 100 women who have had an amazing impact, who have been influential in history. You know, women in here in this packet, like the ones in Philadelphia, who formed the Anti-Slavery Society in 1833. Harriet Tubman, who I already mentioned, who was a Christian who escaped slavery and went on to lead an influential movement within the Underground Railroad, helping to free other slaves. Women like Methodist Frances Willard, who led 2 million members worldwide in a movement that started kindergartens and passed child labor laws, and in the 1870s created the first daycares for children of working women. Women like Henrietta Mears, a Christian educator who shaped the church's future in powerful ways, by being a strong voice in the life of Bill Bright, who would later on go and form Campus Crusade. He would testify that it was her voice that encouraged him to form this ministry that has been life-changing in the lives of so many people. You see, influential people get our attention and they change our lives. Just let that sit for a minute. Influential people get our attention and change our lives. But when I went through this list of 100 women who are influential and who have changed the lives of so many people, I found that absent were some of the most impactful women ever that the Bible talks about. Absent from this list of 100 women are some of the most important and influential women who ever walked the earth. Women like we're going to read about today, two Hebrew midwives. And next week we're going to read about Moses' mother, Jochebed, his aunt, Miriam, and Pharaoh's daughter. Not on this list. And yet, if we believe that this story is our story, then these women are influential and impactful in our lives. And without them, we might not have been here. We might not be here. And so let's start the story. By the way, every week I'm so creative, that's how I'm going to segue. Now let's start the story, because we believe this is the ongoing story of God, which is our story too. And so it begins in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 15, and it says, "Then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, 'When you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter,'" I want you to take this part of the verse and hold on to it, because it is so important. "If it is a daughter, she shall live." So let us just make this easy. If it's a boy, kill him. If it's a daughter, she gets to stay. You see, Pharaoh had realized, as we read in that introduction, that slavery, ruthless, bitter, and harsh, was doing nothing. The Israelites were still growing numerous and spreading abroad, and they were multiplying. And so when Pharaoh realized that slavery was doing nothing to bring these Israelites under control, and that they were growing by leaps and bounds, well, he devised, as most wicked people do, a more wicked strategy. And so he turned from slavery to slaughter. He says, when you serve as a midwife to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a son, you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, she shall live. One of the things I need to do with you, I need you to do with me today, is to not read these verses mechanically. I need you to get into these verses and feel them emotionally. Because what is happening here is something so wicked that you can't even imagine the wickedness of what is going on. A mom has just given birth. Mothers in the room, raise your hand. A mother has just given birth. I remember when my wife gave birth. In fact, we found our old computer in the corner of the garage yesterday, and I pulled it out, and I was going to let my kids play with it until I found that there was 2,000 pictures from the first 2 years we were married on there. And then I'm like, don't touch it till I can back this thing up. And they were all pictures of my first baby, my son, being born. And those kinds of things. I'm like, oh my gosh. I'm out in the garage. I closed the garage door and I just sat crying. The kids came back from getting ice cream with grandma and grandpa. They're like, is this what you do when we leave? What's funnier is they went back out later and they came back and both Tasha and I were sitting in the garage crying, looking at the computer. They're like, you guys are pathetic. I said, yes, but wait till you're dating. I have 2,000 pictures of you potty training. But imagine this moment, the absolute happiness, the joy of a baby being born, that moment where you give birth and you're just like, oh my gosh, one of the videos I watched, I'm like a buffoon in the video because I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my, you hear my voice in the background because I'm making the video, but I'm like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, because I couldn't believe it. It's my son. And I remember my wife saying, because the first one we didn't decide if we were going to know or not know. I remember saying, is it a boy? Is it a girl? Is it a boy? Is it a girl? What is it? What's going on? And here in the text of the Bible, what it says is as the attendants started to care for the mother, as they started to come around the mother and wipe her off and tell her it's going to be okay, that the midwife was to turn around, was to check to see if it was a boy or check to see if it was a girl. And if it was a boy, to suffocate him, to make it look as though he was stillborn. See, at this moment, it's good that it should be like a pin drops in here. Because this is wicked. This is a culture of wickedness. And this should confront us. Because this is horrible. If you are a moral person, this should bother you. This should bother you. You know, when Martin Luther King used to march, when Martin Luther King marched, he purposely would choose towns where there was a special kind of vitriol and hatred for the civil rights movement. Martin Luther King would choose to march in towns that absolutely were opposed to civil rights. Towns that were bitter towards blacks and ruthless towards the treatment of African Americans. And what King was trying to do in every single one of those moments was expose the absolute cruelty of the oppressor and turn the stomachs of the moral minded. King was saying, when you see the special kind of hatred that these people have for us as we march, the moral people should go, that turns my stomach and I can't take it anymore. I need to stand up for the equality of my brothers and sisters. Now, what makes this text even more wicked than a mother giving birth and the beauty of that and the suffocation of a child if it's a boy, what is even more wicked in this thing, and that's a wicked thing, but there are layers of wickedness in here, is that Shiphrah and Puah are Hebrew names. The Bible tells us that these are Hebrew midwives. You could also take it in a text of translation to be midwives to the Hebrews or midwives who were Hebrews. The point of the text is that they were Hebrews. So now not only is it you need to kill a baby, but you need to kill a baby who's one of yours, who's in your tribe. And that's a whole lot. That's another layer because you're killing your own. You know, historically, Hebrew midwives were barren women. They were women who could not give life. And therefore, in the absence of the blessing of being able to bring forth life themselves, they gave themselves to bringing life into the world. Can you imagine a woman who can't have a baby? And maybe for some of you, that's your story. I don't know. And I want to be kind here. But I've met people who cannot have children, and they have a special kind of love for what it means to have children, an appreciation for what they cannot have, and have been such a blessing in the lives of other people and other children. And so here, these Hebrew midwives, they can't bring forth children. They can't have the blessing of family. And so therefore, they've given themselves to the work of bringing forth families. And now they're being asked to kill those families. They know what it means not to have, and now they're asking to now they're being asked to take. In fact, they're being ordered to take life. That's important for us to know. These were not Egyptian midwives who already feared, hated, and loved the enslavement of the Hebrews. These are Hebrew women who were also enslaved ruthlessly and bitterly and now being asked to kill their own people. And now Pharaoh ordered the midwives to do this. And like most rulers, I just want to say this, like most rulers who rule with an iron fist, it never, I don't think, occurred to Pharaoh that anybody would disobey him. I don't think it occurred to him that somehow he would be disobeyed. And so in this moment, he just thinks they're going to do it. Because he told them to do it. Jake? New technology. This is why I like that's why I carry a paper Bible. A friend of mine said the other day, why don't you use your iPad? I said, because it doesn't always work and it doesn't always obey. The book opens because I have to open it. And so Pharaoh tells the Hebrew midwives to do this thing. Now, for some of you, wouldn't you say, why does he want to kill the baby boys? Wouldn't it make more sense to kill the daughters? Because if you kill the daughters, then you can't have any more babies, right? Amen? Is that kind of, that seems logical. But that doesn't hedge on what Pharaoh's fear is. Remember what Pharaoh's fear is. Pharaoh's fear is that somehow his enemies would rise up against him, and the boys, the Hebrew men, would rise up with the enemies and fight against Pharaoh. And so Pharaoh was more interested or more fearful of Israel becoming a military threat to him than he was about the daughters of Israel. In fact, in verses 1 and 9 through 10, it says, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply. And if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. See, the goal of Pharaoh's genocidal plan here was to prevent his enemies from rising up against him and having a kind of a stock of disaffected Hebrew warriors. So he ordered Shipron Pua, if it's a son, kill him, because I don't need any warriors rising up against me. And so when Pharaoh issues this death warrant, he becomes what I would like to call the enemy of life itself. And by doing this, he's countermanding the creation mandate, the mandate that goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 1, in which God told his people to what? Be fruitful and to multiply, to fill the earth. See, Pharaoh is, like I said last week, not just an enemy of the Israelites, but he's an enemy of God himself. He opposes what God's plan is in creation and in saving his people. Pharaoh's not just, it's too small to think that Pharaoh is just an enemy of the Israelites. Pharaoh is an enemy of God. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the male children live. See, Pharaoh had two strategies for preventing God's people from growing: slavery and death. Those were his two modes. Like, this brother can't talk. He can't say, like, let's sit down and work things out. Slavery and death is the only ways that he thinks this is going to work. And friends, by the way, this is the enemy, and this is the weapons that the enemy Satan uses against us when he tries to destroy us, isn't it? Isn't it? First, sin leads us to slavery. Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 34, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And slavery in sin leads us to death, because Romans 6:23 tells us, for the wages of sin is what? Death. Exactly. So what we need is exactly what the Israelites needed, and that is a savior to deliver us, to rescue us from slavery, to deliver us from death by destroying our enemy. And just as God provided a savior for Israel, and we'll learn his name next week, he provided a savior for us, and we all know his name, and that is what? Come on, say it like you mean it. Exactly. And I think, though, friends, that's hard for us to remember at times. It really is. Any one of us in here today who has been visited by what Kent Hughes calls a dark night of the soul, anyone who has been visited by the enemy on one of those dark nights knows that it is not easy to stand up against Satan when he comes calling with his condemnation. And it's not easy when he sends one of his silly stooges like Pharaoh either. This is why Shipra and Pua are for me one of the great women in history, one of the most influential women in the history. They should be on this list. Because when Satan came, when Pharaoh came knocking with his order to kill all the baby boys, they said no. He said no. Remember what I said earlier? Influential people get our attention and they change our lives. These women, I don't know yet if it's happened for you, but they get my attention. And I realize because of their actions, they have changed our lives. The name Shipra means loosely beautiful one. And the name Pua means splendid one. And I love these names because these women lived up to these names, didn't they? These women were beautiful and splendid in their disobedience, in their desiring not to do a wicked thing. The last thing that these beautiful and splendid women would ever want to do is to take a life, especially an innocent life. These midwives understood the mind and the heart of God, even though they hadn't yet received the commandment on Mount Sinai, which would say, "Thou shalt not kill." They still knew that life mattered and that murder was wrong. Maybe they remembered the words from God to Noah in Genesis 9:6, which said, "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God, God has made man." If it is a son, you shall kill him. And these Hebrew midwives said,
And the midwives said, Oh, dear listener, tune in for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends as we'll continue with this message as preached by Pastor Jason Schiffo of the Community Evangelical Free Church in Mahomet. As our pattern on the future Fridays is to go through the book of Exodus, but for me and family to enjoy some R&R, we've taken this recently preached message and are putting it into the Wednesday and this Friday's edition of Mark and Friends. So be sure to tune in this Friday at the same time during Mark and Friends. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.